was. Remember, you know, I'm not an Armenian, and don't call me one because you got a fight. But I want to tell you, there's people that have sat under the preaching of the word. They're going to remember that.
Yes, they will.
Remember.
They're going to remember, oh, if I just had listened, I wouldn't be in this awful place. The Bible says, where the wicked shall see it and be grieved, he shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Psalms 112, verse 10. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say that we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day that we have looked for. We have found, we have seen it. The Lord hath done that which he hath devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he hath commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. Lamentations 2. It's just amazing. You just imagine walking down the corridors of hell fire. That's what Jesus called it. Walking down the corridors of hell fire and hearing the blood-curdling screams, weeping and gnashing of teeth, wailing and gnashing of teeth, crying for one drop of water to cool a tongue, cursing God and the cursing images of the likes of Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Jesus, the apostles. My dear brethren who have preached at this Bible conference, and last of all, this poor sinner God saved 47 years ago this month, who has warned boys and girls, men and women, to flee from the wrath to come. And all of that is forever and ever. Forever and ever. I've been given a title of this message, The Wrath of God in the Lake of Fire. I want to read to you Revelation, the 20th chapter. I'm going to begin in verse 10. Says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now how can that happen? How can that happen with a loving God? You know, we know God's one of God's great attributes is love.
Yeah, right.
You know, I like to say it like this, that God doesn't love any more today than he did in eternity.
Amen.
He also doesn't love any less
Amen.
Today than he did in eternity.
Amen.
You know, what God didn't love in eternity, he doesn't love today.
Right.
You know, we have this saying, I saw a bumper sticker just this past week on the car said, God loves you. And I talk to myself when I see those things. I said, how do you know? You know.
Yeah.
How do you know that God loves you or God loves me? How do I know if God loves you? I don't. Have you ever walked up to a casket and looked in that casket and tried to visualize in some way where that soul is? What that soul is going through right now? Not the body, the soul. That body's going to the grave, but that soul is already gone somewhere.
Amen.
It's out there in the great unknown. It's out there, unknown to us. Not unknown to God, but unknown to us. You're going to find out before we get finished here. God prepared hell just exactly the way He prepared heaven for His children.
Amen.
Where is that soul today? You'll say, well, I know they were a good person. That doesn't make for a person going to heaven. There's a lot of good people that are in hell today. Anger and wrath are attributes of God, and many times in the Scriptures are used to signify the same thing. However, anger is used many times in the Bible to signify a lesser degree of wrath. And wrath is used as the worst of anger. You know, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. That means something. You know, today God is angry with the wicked. That's the less degree of wrath. But the greatest degree of wrath is when God is so angry through His infinite wisdom and His infinite self, He sends a person to hell. How can a God do that? As my brother said, when my dad passed away, we walked up to the casket. I was already standing there. My brother came up to the casket and he looked down and he said, "Did your God do this to our dad?" He said, is this the God that you serve?" I said, "It is." He said, "Well, I don't serve a God that will take my daddy." And I asked him, I said, "Do you serve a God that would send somebody to hell?" He said, "There's no such God living." Of course, my brother is that close to being an atheist. Jehovah was angry with Sodom and Gomorrah to the point that the Bible says men understood the destroying of Sodom and Gomorrah as the heat of great anger. What the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:24. Isaiah says Jehovah will show the indignation of His great anger and with the flame of devouring fire. The Bible says God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. I know, how can I get that through to you? I mean, what can I say? What more can I say? You know, you say, "Well, I don't know any wicked people." God does. God knows a lot of them. And until God shows you who you are and what you are, you're going to eventually die, and the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon you in the hellfire of torment.
Right.
God's anger with the wicked eventually leads to His wrath being poured out upon all the wicked. We understand the wrath of God is God executing His primitive justice according to the demerit of the sin. The wrath of God is God threatening to punish sin and the sinner and the final execution of the threat. is wrath in casting souls of men into the lake of fire where they are tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the final execution of His wrath. I can't tell you what it's like. I haven't been there, and I'm not going there. And I was just thinking one day this week when I was working on this message, I was thinking one day this week, oh, if I could just get that rich man back up here and stand beside me today.
Yeah.
That would be a wonderful thing if I could just get him up here. So you have no choice today. You have to listen to me. Because there's no other testimony here today besides these other preachers that's already made mention of it. There's no other testimony here at this time to what is to come. Armenians teach that God is a God of love, will never want to send any to hell. But I'm teaching you today that God is angry with every lost soul, and there is a wrath of God coming to all who have never been born again.
Amen. Amen.
I want to look at, I don't even know what time I started, but I'll preach and I get some other preaching. We want to look at four things today. The wrath of God in the lake of fire is expressed as a fire burning. You know, we hear that all the time. We hear it. And what I like this term hellfire that Jesus used in Matthew 5:22. You know, so many people have tried to, the Jehovah's false witnesses, they can't understand it, so they just ignore it.
Yeah.
The Mormons, they can't understand it, so they just ignore it. They just say that all males are gods and all females are helpmeets of gods. You know, the curse of the broken law has always been punishment for of sin. I mean, punishment with fire, God sent down fire and hail upon the land of Egypt as a punishment for ignoring God's law. Exodus 9:22-35. Several other places in the scriptures, God used fire as a judgment against those who refuse His law. Another example is with Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, offering strange fire upon the altar of God. God sent fire down. You know, the wrath of God in the lake of fire is expressed by fire burning.
Yes.
Now that we know God uses fire as a means to punish those who fall under the curse of the broken law, let's see how God uses fire burning as a means of eternal punishment. In Matthew 5:22, I'm going to read it. I'm not going to read every verse that I've got down today. You can read it. I'll give them to you. Matthew 5:22 says, "But I say unto you," this is Jesus speaking, "but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." That's how Jesus used it. Also in Matthew 18:8-25. Also verse 41, Mark 9:46-48, 2 Thessalonians 1-8. Hell is associated with fire. The lake of fire is associated with fire. And you'll say, well, why aren't we consumed? You're not consumed. It's like the bush that God created in Moses' day. It was on fire, but it didn't burn. So you'll say, well, why can God create a soul? Can God create a soul and unite it with a body that will not burn? Absolutely He can.
Amen.
It's not going to be consumed. It's going to be alive. It's going to know what's going on. It's going to wander day and night, forever and ever.
what it's like.
Yes.
Why am I here? Oh God, why am I here? Oh God, why am I in this place? Just let me wake up. You ever had a nightmare? One of the great things about having a nightmare, you didn't wake up. I know I made a statement several years ago. I said a lot of people dream about constantly falling, and but they never hit the bottom. Brother Kimball said he did one time. But it's a terrible, terrible thing. Is there any doubt that God created fire for a purpose other than cooking food? The wrath of God in the lake of fire is expressed by a separation from God. It's not, you know, it's one thing for somebody to turn their face up on you, but let me tell you, it's something else for God to turn His face up on you. I believe in omnipresence as much as anyone, but I also believe God has that attribute to where He can turn His face up on whomever He sees fit to.
Yes.
And when God turns His face up on you for all eternity, thank God, Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou persecuted? Why, Lord? Why? You know, you'll say, well, He suffered my hell for me. But you, if you're here lost today and you die and go to hell, and those souls that are in hell now, they're saying the same thing. They're crying out to my God, why? Why? Why am I in this place? God will separate all who are wicked and offensive from Him into a place where there is pain and suffering forever. This place is called hellfire. The Greek word for Gehenna, or the valley of Him, where children were burned and sacrificed to Moloch, where the constant beating of the drums drowned out the screams of the children so as not to be heard by their parents. This place is called hellfire, or better named, Topheth. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 30. I want to read this one. Isaiah 30. Now we talk about a prepared place. In Isaiah 30, verse 33, he says, for Topheth is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Hellfire. That's hellfire. The children were separated from their parents into the pits of hellfire. You can't begin to... Wow. A religion that would do that. A religion that would take live little girls and throw them into that lake of fire. Some say it's likened unto the lake that was under Sodom and Gomorrah. But let me tell you, why would anyone do that? And the drums would beat so that they couldn't hear the screams of the little children as they were thrown into there. Well, I'm going to tell you today, you might say this is awful, but this is exactly what will happen to all lost in that great day of God's wrath.
Amen.
The screams of the damned will be drowned out by the praising of God the elect, so as not to be heard by the daddies, the mamas, and the children, and the grandchildren, the grandparents, etc.
Amen.
You know, God's got a way of drowning all of that out.
Amen.
God's got a way of protecting. You know, some folks say, well, I can't wait to get to heaven to meet my daddy, my mama. What if your daddy and mama's not in heaven?
You're going to say, oh, it'd be awful. I couldn't stand that. I couldn't stand it. No, you're going to praise God for who He is.
Amen.
You're going to praise God for how great He's been. We've heard it did well, well spoken. Friday night in the days, we've heard about God. What great messages we've heard. You think it is awful to see children separate from their parents and vice versa? It is everlasting awfulness to be separated from God from all eternity.
Amen.
Ask God turn. You'll say, well, how do the saved benefit from God watching over them? They do. If you're living here and you're lost today, you know, you benefit from God being present.
Amen. That's right.
Just like I heard it said in one of the messages, I believe it was Friday night, I heard it said in one of the messages that, you know, that God watches over all. He's making a book, making a mark. And God watches over all. Some folks say, well, God's not going to have time to talk about a lost man's words. But He is.
That's right.
Time doesn't mean a thing to God.
Right,
doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing to God. If it takes Him 10 million years to judge every lost person, He's going to do it.
Yes.
Because it's going to be an eternity that they're going to suffer the wrath of God.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing today if God judges you.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll wake up. Maybe you'll realize that God is real and God lives among His people.
Yeah.
I don't believe you can be any closer to heaven than you are right now on this earth. That's in one of the Lord's churches. I think that's as close to heaven as you'll get. I've heard people say, well, I just wouldn't sit in heaven with somebody. Someone's like some people would go to your church. And I tell them, I said, you probably won't. You probably won't sit in heaven with them. I had a man tell me that one time. It was a man coming to our church. Supposed to be one of the meanest men in Cynthiana, Kentucky. And he was saved, and the Lord saved him, put him a member of Calvary Baptist Church. And the man told me, he said, I wouldn't sit in heaven with that man. I said, you probably won't.
Amen.
You probably won't do it. Number three, the wrath of God in the lake of fire is expressed by continuing forever. It is called the everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, everlasting destruction. Matthew 25:41-46, 2 Thessalonians 1:9, Revelation 14:11. God has fixed a day in which He will punish every wicked person. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, I mean, I know for a fact today, without any doubt, I'm exactly where God wants me right now.
Yes.
I know that. But that doesn't keep me from being very concerned.
That's right.
Because God has fixed a day. I know God has fixed a day. Me, I'll be 70 years old in 2 more months. Brother David Collier told me, he said, you'll be living on borrowed time after that. But let me tell you something, folks. I know God's fixed a day for me.
Amen.
I'm not going to die 1 second earlier or 1 second later.
Amen. Right.
And I'm not going to wind up with the Lord 1 second earlier, 1 second later. He's fixed a day. But let me tell you, if you're here and lost today, He's fixed a day for you too. Your day is fixed. You'll say, well, how am I going to find out when that is? You're not. You're not going to find out when it is. It is called, what it's called is a day of wrath and righteous judgment of God. This day is laid up in store with God and is known by no person here on this earth. When that day comes for those who are lost, God will execute His judgment at the precise time. Not a second earlier, not a second later. If you are within the sound of my voice today, please examine yourself. Look at your life. Look at your works for God. Look at your motives for being religious. Look at your rebellion against the Word of God. And look deep into your soul, because you may find something that you need. You may find something that you need. And lastly, the wrath of God in the lake of fire is expressed as to who the recipients of this wrath will be. It is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodly, and the ungodliness of men. All have sinned and are the children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. There are particular ones of the all who have sinned on which wrath comes. They're called the children of disobedience. There are those who are disobedient to gospel truth, which, by the way, is an evidence that one is lost.
Right.
Those who are disobedient to the light of those clearly seen, the light that is clearly seen, those who rebel against truth and hold the truth in unrighteousness, these are those who know the truth but ignore it as a rule and faith of their life. Those who sin without law will perish without law. Those who have a conscious conviction of the law, yet doesn't have the heart to obey and follow it, will end up in everlasting punishment.
Right.
It would do every person in this building today very well to go home and really think about their soul, where they will spend eternity.
Amen.
I don't want a person in this building to go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want my worst enemy to go to hell. You say, you have some enemies? I've got a few. I've got a few. You know, you say, well, Satan's going to hell. I wish there's some way God could save him, but he's not going to hell. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. You realize they say there's approximately 3 million people that lived before the flood. And every one of them, but 8 of them, are in hell today.
Right.
And been there ever since.
Man.
Ever since. Can you imagine? Been there ever since that day of the flood. And did you know that there have been billions upon billions upon billions, some that even number some of the sands of the sea, that have gone on and they're in hell today? Had a man tell me one time, he says, I'll have a lot of company. I said, you're not even going to know.
That's right.
Amen. I said, it's going to be you.
That's right.
Amen.
You and you only.
Uh-huh.
I said that old wicked person that you run around with, drink with, and carry on, I said, it's going to be him and him alone. It's going to be you and you alone. That's right. I'm going to stand before God someday, and God help me. I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ someday, but God help me, because I've had some things in my life. But I'll tell you one thing I've got in my life that's going to help me that day. And that's the Lord saved me 47 years ago, the 27th day of this month. That's the thing that's going to help me. You know, oh yeah. Yeah, I tell you, you know, we're just, Brother Collier talked about a poor sinner that's just saved by grace. That's all I am.
Yeah.
I'm just a poor sinner that's saved by grace. I don't know why God saved me. I don't know why God's kept me. I don't know why God's kept me in the ministry this long. I don't know why these beautiful folks here have kept me at Landmark Baptist Church. I'll be celebrating 30 years of pastoring to these folks in the second and first weekend of April. I don't know why they kept me there that long. I have no idea. Had a man tell me one day, he said, I wouldn't sit and listen to you. I said, sometimes I wouldn't either. But you see, God takes care of us.
Amen.
God takes care of my beautiful wife back there. She's been listening to me preach for 47 years, going on 48. My little granddaughter back there. She's heard me ever since the day she was born. Even before she was born, she heard me.
Amen.
I don't know why. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm grateful.
Amen.
I'm thankful. And I pray that you will be too.
Amen.
Amen.